Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the chair.
Out to all our listeners around the world,
in Turtle Island, in the South, all our relatives in the islands. And keep in mind, this is our country, not theirs, you know. Before I start off, you know, I wanted to give my sympathies, you know, for a good brother that just went on his journey. A couple days ago, I made a post about sobriety, about my sobriety, and he commented on it. The next day, a drunk driver killed him. And that really tears my heart up. It really tears me up. I mean, to tell you the truth, I'm super pissed. But before I go any further, my Tahashi is here. And I'm going to let my Tahashi pray for us in all these things. How, Tahashi?
Wana.
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 That was a shot we had yesterday, right? For our relative to lose somebody like that so quick. You know, and this man was everything in the ceremony, everything. Lakota speaker, he collected wood for Inipi, for Sundance. He made whistles. He did everything. I mean, he could skin, prepare tatanka, you know. I mean, this guy did everything, and plus he was a good father, you know, and a Lakota speaker, and fairly young. And it's hard to lose older ones, but to lose young ones, they're supposed to be here for when we go to keep it going, you know, and it's just sad that a drunk driver took him out, you know. So I know we're shocked, and I know you're shocked, and we danced with this guy for years and years, you know, and man, such a good man, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Clancy, the thing about Larry, he never did harm anybody or say anything bad to anybody. He was always a good-hearted, kind person to everybody. It didn't matter who it was. He would always greet you with a smile and say things that lifted you up, especially when you speak Lakota and he walks up to you and he knows you speak Lakota. He greets you in a way that makes you feel comfortable. He never had any bad words for anybody or negative thoughts about anybody. To lose somebody like that, and him with all the knowledge he has about this way of life, to lose somebody like that, it is a real shock, because you don't expect that. But yet, when there's alcohol, you know, the unexpected is always there. That's why, you know, I don't understand it. Our reservation's supposed to be dry. They get rid of white clay, but yet there's still Martin. Martin still sells alcohol. And that's between our reservation and your reservation. It doesn't make sense to me how these guys could sell alcohol on that place, claiming that that's their land, these Washitos, this co-op, you know, Lake Creek. And something like this happened. You know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, why wouldn't they stop that too, right there at Martin? You know, it's not right. It's not fair to the Indians, because they get rid of one, but yet there's one right in the middle of all of us, you know? And to them, it's okay. To the Washitu, it's okay for that to be there. And this guy making use of that and killing somebody like this, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, get rid of Martin's alcohol too. Why should they sell alcohol there in Martin? And yet nobody goes after Martin, because there's a big Indian community there, but yet none of them speak up about the alcohol that's sold there. Yet they complain about the bootleggers in Pine Ridge. You know, those bootleggers are protected by the tribal councils. You ain't never going to get rid of them. You know, and that's the thing. But Martin, it's between two reservations. Something ought to be done about that. Stop the sale of alcohol. Because it's supposed to be our reservation is a dry reservation.
We need to annex Bennett County.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was all, like I was saying before, Country. Your reservation, our reservation was all one at one time. And the Washitos came and they overed on half. A lot of these squaw men that used to be there, that married Indian women, they were the ones that got this land by using these women, Indian women. Then they sold it to their relations or these Washitos dirt cheap. And they left these Indian women with nothing. So these Washitos moved in, kind of split us apart. I think it was all planned, you know, to separate us, to say, oh, you're different. Those guys are different. We didn't look at that way a long time ago. We was all one, Kanshi. You know, but yet today, Martin kind of like splits Rosebud from Pine Ridge, you know, and it's all Washington that dictate what happens.
And they give us tickets and treat us like hell when we drive through there, you know.
Yeah.
They killed my aunt in Martin. Elsie Flood, Turtle Woman. Yes. They killed her there, and they never even came up with who did it, because it was one of them, you know. You know, it's just like they talk about Anna May, you know. She disappeared, and they found her right above Bennett County.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And hotter, you know, hotter than I know, somebody from there didn't holler up there. You know?
Yep.
Indians get blamed for everything. But that Bennett County, doesn't belong there. It belongs to us. It belongs to Lakota. But that's pure obvious how they stole it. You know, what gets me is how they stole the land from the Palestinians. In just one quick move, they made Israel and all that stuff. And they act like everything, you know, when we talk about that over here, they act like it's impossible and all that. Well, they can in 1 week give the Black Hills back to us and give us Bennett County back. They can do that if they want to be right. But the Washitu don't never want to be right. And every one of them that lives on these lands, you know, they act like they're our friends, and our people suck their ass. I even see Gary Roos on Facebook intermingling with Lakota like he's one of them, you know, Dr. Butterboot and all of them. You know, all these people come over here and And what do they do? You know, what do they do? They act like they're our colas, you know. And Gary Roos is reason for ripping off a lot of land and not letting us have business. He's a big banker. The biggest banker runs First National Bank in Gordon, or Rushville, or Gordon, right? And you see, the tribe owes them money, you know, Gary Roos and them. They schemed everything. You know, these men, these colas of the Lakota, they sure know how to rip us. And that's how they got Bennett County. The same kind of colas like these ones, you know. And, and look what it is. Alcohol. They sure like to give us tickets in Bennett County for speeding, making up speeding tickets, fabricating speeding tickets, saying we're speeding, grabbing us for this and that, not coming to a full stop, bullying us on the highway. But they sure don't mind selling alcohol, you know, and they sure don't mind a lot of other wicked stuff they do, you know. But, you know, the thing with Larry, you know, Bear Killer, you know, it's really painful because he raises two sons.
Yep.
And, you know, when we were talking on the phone yesterday and found out the news, you know, it was a shock because I just seen him. He commented on my post. I didn't think he was unhealthy, like heart attack or that, because he works, man. He chops wood. He's in good health, you know, and this news, I said, then when I found out what happened to him, man, it makes me pissed that a drunk driver took his life, you know, a drunk driver.
You know, the sad part of it is, Conchi, is that the drunk driver lived, but Larry and his buddy are dead. You know, that's the sad part of it. The two guys that are sober. Yeah, the two guys that are sober are both dead. And the drunk driver, he's still alive. You know, that goes to show you how much work he does.
I never got the info on that, but who wrecked into him? Was it another Lakota?
Yeah, his name was Roulard.
Oh, but man, one of those Oglala Roulards?
Yep, I think it's Oglala. From Wombly. Wombly.
Oh, man.
You know,
man, that's
just like
cold-blooded.
I said.
That's, I didn't know who else was with Larry.
I can't remember his name, but there was somebody else with him, and he died also. But the two guys that did not drink are both dead, and the guy that was drinking and driving is still alive. They've life-lighted him out. And I haven't heard nothing about him dying yet, so he's still alive.
Man, that's wicked, you know. Anyway, you know, we could get fired up all night, you know. And, you know, I was just wanted to touch base on some other issues real quick, and then we'll go back to whatever. You know, because, you know, I was sad all day yesterday over Larry just because it's a shock, you know. I mean, it ain't like somebody, you know, something's going to happen to you. Some other people, you say, you get shocks like this, you know.
It's hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
Hard to understand what really happened, you know. But it's true. It's. I mean, I still want to wake up and have it be a dream, you know. But it can't. It's not possible.
Yep.
You know, I feel bad for my Tracojas, you know, his two boys. But man, you know, it's pretty shocking.
Said Larry was only, you know, 56 years old, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, that's young, you know. Some people might figure he's old, but. he is always working, you know, getting wood. I mean, you look on his Facebook page, and he's got nothing but wood loads on there, you know?
Yeah.
And
hard worker.
Yeah. And so, anyway, that's what I was going to say about Larry then. And you know, I was tripping how they tore down Queen Elizabeth's statue in Canada. Our Canadian relatives tore down a statue, you know, and, you know, I like it when they do that stuff. What trips me out.
You know me too.
Yeah. And what trips me out is up in Minnesota, Indians tore down Columbus statue. And check this out. One of the lead guys in GGC told me, I hope that son of a bitch goes to jail. Hope they send him to prison for that. You see, that's hate.
Yep.
That's hate for another Indian. You know, we don't need to like each other, but not be wishing that on another Indian, especially when you're some leader of supposed to be of us, you know? When you have that kind of people, and the other day, the same guy was down there in California that bullying one of our people. You know, kind of long story. But the point what I'm getting at is when we did the Wounded Knee Memorial in February, they didn't show up. They had plenty of excuses why they didn't show up. They said, oh, COVID, and it's hard to get money, and all these different. A couple had good excuse. I mean, I know one had a family in the hospital. I understand that stuff. I'm not talking about that. But when these same people fly, get airplane tickets, fly to California with all their fancy garb on, with aim patches from the ankle to the head, all over the place, and then trying to act tough, bullying people over a AIM chapter, calling that Grand GGC came to California, and all these guys over there doing that, and we have line three right above, like 150, 175 miles north of Minnesota, and they can't even go up there. I seen the videos. Those cops are busting people. They're busting protesters. They won't even let them drive into the lot, into the private land. They locked up the private land. They're here with, I have a couple of them are here at my house right now, you know, and they're up there. And they went to jail. They got their car impounded and everything, you know? And see, what gets me is I was looking at these videos. I didn't see no AIM flags flying over there. I didn't see all these, you know? And they're destroying the ice paddies, Tahashi. The ice, wild rice. They drained the ponds for the wild rice. And ripping it off, and then they said, oh, we'll put it back. Well, we know damn well you can't repair the rice. You take the water off and try to put it back, it'll take 50 years to get that rice to grow back like it was now, you know?
Yep.
And these AIM guys, leaders, are over there in California having a tourist day. Even the women wearing big eagle feathers off their hair, you know? Playing Indian, wearing ribbon dresses like they're sun dancing, you know? That's the normal thing right now. That's a common thing they're starting to do now, and they're calling it traditional. But, you know, all this stuff started with our people, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't try to take credit or brag or boast, but, you know, even that, what's her name, Deb Holland, she went wearing this attire. They didn't wear that in Navajos or Pueblos, you know. All this stuff, you know, it's new age. The new age people, well, I'm proud they're learning, getting their culture back. I have no problem with that, that we're getting our culture back. We're proud to be Indian. We're proud to, you know, but still, where's our priorities? Is our priority down there bullying some Indian woman? You know, bullying a Lakota woman because she don't cater to what a leader says. He says, oh, since you come at me like that, then you're not a sanctioned chapter, you know. But I'm open. I got, you know, yeah, since you're coming at me like that, then you ain't a sanctioned chapter and you're never going to be sanctioned, you know. And same way these people said about Oklahoma. They said Oklahoma will never have a chapter because of what Carter Camp did to Clyde. You know, I don't understand all this. And I don't care about autonomous aim. I don't care about GGC. The American Indian Movement was here way before all of that. And the American Indian Movement, the way I see it, was our people have unity, big time unity, coast to coast, from Arctic to Antarctica. You know, we never need these so-called government leaders, you know, having sergeant at arms, having vice and this. That's what she chose stuff. You know, our leaders didn't have that. We had wisdom running our people. I don't see no wisdom. Go ahead, Tanshi.
You know, Tanshi, the way I look at it, Clyde and Carter Camp, what they got going with each other, that belongs to them. That's nobody else's business. You can't hate on somebody that didn't do nothing against you. Leave that between those two guys. American Indian Movement is separate than that. If they're having it out, let them have it out. Let them settle it. Everybody else, stay away from it and continue being AIM. You know, these Washitos love that. Like what these guys are doing, coming down here, attacking a Lakota woman and saying that she's not an AIM chapter. What is that all about? You know, the guy is just, I thought he was supposed to be the president of American Indian chapters. And now he wants to tear all of them down. He wants the only AIM chapter. That doesn't exist. American Indian Movement is about the people. And that's why I used to tell him before my brother Leonard Crowdog passed away, I told him, go talk to him and find out what it's about. But now that he's dead, I'm going to tell you guys again. We all have to stick together. If you have a beef with somebody else, keep that between you two guys. Don't get involved in it. American Indian Movement is about the people and the cause. Like this, these rights that you talk about, when they say Mitakuye Oyasi, remember that rice. That's Indian food. That's a Mitakuye Oyasi right there. That water. What are these guys protecting? Money? You can't take it with you. Remember that. But your kids could live off that rice for thousands of years, which they did. How is that Washita going to replace that? It's not going to be the same even 50 years from now. What are they standing for? What is the GGC standing for? It doesn't sound like they're standing for American Indian Movement. It seems like they're Washita. They're out there collecting debt. You know, it's set up like a biker chapter. What is that all about? Get rid of that Washita thinking.
Yeah, Tanshi. One thing I wanted to say is you know, they're down there. They went down there, put on a big old tour show, went there, blah, 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 and then smoked a chanupa, they said. Can you imagine that? And they said, and when they got passed it on, they said, Mitako Yasin, you know? These Nalakotas. These Nalakotas. And then they're down there to bully a Lakota woman. They're down there to bully other ones, other Indians, and say, play God with who is going to be running, who's going to have an AIM chapter and who's not going to have an AIM chapter. And, you know, and there's more and more and more, you know. And yeah. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. But you know what? These people are not respecting the indigenous. They just cut down Phillips' chapter. But he quit them anyway. You know, I didn't want to go off into all that. But the reasons for it is they saying that he's not acting indigenous and blah, blah, blah. And they put down that they're trying to preserve it. How are you preserving it? By going down there and being tourists in a big slamming barbecue down your throat when you should be up there at line three, when you should be out there helping, when you live right there 150 miles away. I was trying to be nice to someone. I was trying to call them bro. But you know what? I know who my bros are, and I know who my family is, and I know what my culture is. And I seen them impound my bro's car. They took him to jail. And it brought on, we had a Nipi the other day, and we prayed for all these things. And Tahashi that run the Nipi, I didn't realize it, but he got busted in Standing Rock. And he's on probation for stuff in Standing Rock. You know? He's not on the GGC. He's not even an AIM chapter, but he's an AIMster. He's been with us all these years because he's Lakota, you know?
Yep.
And a Lakota speaker. But he's... The government took him in and prosecuted him. Now he's on probation. For what? For defending Unchi Maka.
Yeah, for water. You know? Protecting Nitakuye Oyaski. See, this is what I'm getting at, Tanshi. These people, when they say that word, they better mean it, especially like you said, they get up and smoke a pipe. They better mean that because it's not going to do them any good by doing things like that. You know what I mean?
You don't go down and smoke a pipe to play God with other indigenous people.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
You support them. That Chinupa is inclusive. That's why these other tribes have it. But they remember, there's an oath they took when they picked that up. Your people come first. Leonard Crow Dog used to say that. It takes all of us. We have to do this together. Why are they trying to tear people apart? Why don't they put some positive suggestions in there to make that AIM chapter better instead of trying to tear it down? That's my take on it. What is the big idea of trying to get rid of Indians? When you claim to be Indian, and then you're smoking a pipe. To me, that's disgraceful. Don't do that. If that's the case, don't even smoke it. Go to the church. Act like a Washichu. Go to confession. Throw a few dollars in a God box and go sin all you want. You know?
And make sure you pay your government. Make sure you pay your government dues.
Yeah.
Just to be AIM. Because if you don't pay your government dues, then you can't be AIM no more. Because you chose to walk that way, you know, you know, and, you know, they say aim forever, forever aim. Now aim forever, forever aim. I believe that. But you can't be aim forever, forever aim when you have to pay dues. Because if you don't pay them dues, they're going to yank your trademark and you're going to be done for. And, anyway, I'll move on from there a little bit, but I have some friends. While Corinne Fairbanks is here, we're not all high tech, you know. Like we're still playing with Washichu toys, so you know. But I wanted, because they were up there in line three, and they got all the details with line three, and I got upset because I was looking at the videos, and I seen that. That I didn't see no Amesters up there. I mean, you know, they're fighting for our water. They're fighting for everything, you know? And anyway, I got Corinne on right now. Hey, Corinne.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on the show, Wampy.
Well, right on. Okay? So, yeah, I can hear you all right. And a matter of fact, it's good to have you here. And I was explaining about line three, what you're doing up there, because I think they need more support up there. They need more people telling the government, because the government is stopping you from going into private property. And they're bullying you. I seen the videos, and then of course they impounded your van, and they locked Jacob and probably somebody else. I guess there's more people locked up, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And there's Indians up there, but
right.
You know, and there's no real aim dominance like I think the American Indian Movement should be there. I heard there's what, of course you're there, Corinne, and I always look at you as a good Amester, and of course you're acknowledged by many people regardless, you know? And the thing about it, Corinne, I became aware of another guy up there from AIM, but he's getting paid for being there. We don't need to talk about that. But this guy's up there in GGC and all that. He's up there because he's getting paid. And anyway, we'll mention that. But fill us in a little bit.
Well, first, I want to shout out and give deep respects to Candice Legault, Jeffrey Legault, because they're out in Red Lake, and they are working really hard. There's a Red Lake Treaty Camp that's a prayer camp that has been pulled together, and they've been kind of threatened to close down, too. But they've been managing to keep it together. And Jeffrey Legault, who's Candace's son, is trying different angles and trying to – because what a lot of people don't know is that Minnesota is also in drought. And so when they're taking out this water in these lakes and how it's messing up the rice, if there's an overall drought. You can – you know, Candace was taking me around Red Lake and showing me – all these different lakes that, and how far down the water has been, and they were hoping that the water levels would go back up, but it just gets worse and worse, and you could see the lines and how that's affecting not just the rice, but how that's affecting the whole ecological system that's there. And so I want to give a shout-out to them, because really, Candace, like when we got our van impounded in the first action, Candace was right there to say, girl, let me pick you up. What do we got to do? Do you need bail money? Do you need this? And she was awesome, you know. And then, of course, Wombly, you were there too, kind of, out, you know, saying the same thing, you know, like, what do you need? And that was really beautiful. Yeah. So I know that there's AIM presence with the people that live there that have been in AIM, but it's not like a full-on AIM action, even though – you know, because we haven't heard anything from the Grand Governing Council as to whether this is going to be an AIM, a full AIM involvement. How I ended up there was I had been asked a couple months ago that there was a camp that was going to need some workshops with some non-Native people on how to be allies and accomplices. And someone like a friend of mine who's kind of like family, I've known him for years, him and his wife, they had offered to, you know, have us come up and do help with some of these workshops and help with some of the actions. So we agreed to do this. And, of course, between the time they've asked us to where we are right now, it's just gotten more and more heated. So it was a learning experience because I was coming at it thinking, you know, with the rice, you know, my children are Anishinaabe, so that rice means a lot to me. Even though I'm Lakota, I respect and love my children, and this is also their way as well. So, and of course, I mentioned earlier, I have family and friends up in Red Lake too. That so I wanted to go and support that, but there's a lot of ecological reasons to be involved in this, and I wanted to give the phone over to my partner Jake because Jake was actually more involved in the actions than I was. The first action that we did that got the van impounded was we were the first vehicle that showed up to that private property where those cops were keeping people from going into. Like, so he'll explain that better than I will. But our van was first. So luckily, we were able to get the van out so that we could continue to participate in the rest of the week. But I'm going to have him talk about that. So hold on 1 second, and I'll pass the phone over to him.
He was looking on speakerphone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jake, I figure Jake's there now. Jake, you there?
Hello. Hello, my name is Jake Stockwell. I live on occupied Pueblo territory in New Mexico, and I went up to the Line 3 protest camp, resistance camps, to support our indigenous relatives on Anishinaabe territory. And at first, Corrine mentioned that that our van was impounded. Wombly mentioned that, and that we were called there. We were invited by a camp led by Tara Huska, I believe her name is, and she's Anishinaabe. She had said that her driveway was being blockaded by the county police there, and they were denying her access to food and water, and so we convoyed with a group non-Native and Native folks to her place to confront these police who were totally in wrong. They had indeed, they had blockaded her driveway. They had stated some blah blah ordinance, were, you know, basically harassment and entrapment of this indigenous person's property. So we were the first vehicle there who we met the police and confronted them. There, basically saying that we needed to get through, that we had food and medicine and water to deliver to our relatives, and we were
and ice,
and they said, well, you could walk it in, and I said that is not a resolution that you're telling me that, you know, this is 2021. We're not walking this stuff in. This needs, you know, that's a temporary solution here. You're denying these folks, you know, freedom of access. That's a right. It's an indigenous right. And so eventually, after exchange of words, they cited me, and then I just turned the parked the car, parked the van in the middle of the road, pointed at their cop cars, and they everybody else was, there was about 10 other cars that also followed that same suit, and we continued to confront the police for hours while they decided that they were going to impound our vehicles one by one. And in fact, some people decided that they were going to lock themselves to the vehicles, creating more pressure on the county. And that had an impact. Those videos went out. They went viral. The message got out there. And they lifted it a day later. The county was forced to lift this ridiculous ordinance against vehicle traffic. So then, in response to that, another action was planned in which a group of folks stopped a section of Line 3 construction. What's the name of that county? I don't even remember. Hubbard County. Yeah, Hubbard County. A section of probably 3 miles worth of construction is what was stopped for the day. A number of people locked down to machines, and a number of other people just swarmed with banners and people along the pipeline. So we stopped. You know, it's these pipeline fights, they're really hard. They're really long. There's a lot of pipelines out there. This one is just, it holds so much because it's there. It's right there at the Mississippi headwaters. So it affects millions of people. They're going to go into that water. They're going to drill under that. And that's what this fight is trying to point at right now. They're trying to stop the drilling from underneath the Mississippi headwaters. That's not only is a sacred site to all Anishinaabe and Dakota people, but it affects the entire Mississippi River, you know, hundreds of indigenous nations, hundreds of non-native communities, millions of people, millions and millions of people.
And animals.
And so it has to be stopped. This thing, it has to be known. You have to get yourself there, even, you know, only a week. But maybe Corrine has something more impassionate to say.
Sorry about that. One of the things that he didn't mention is that he was part of that action.
No,
and
I'm not.
The next one.
Allegedly
he wasn't part of that action. But what I would say is that he was one of the first to get arrested in that action. And what Hubbard County did is that they let a few people go, but then charged a $5,000 bail for everybody else. So that was unheard of. They were not letting anybody out unless they were willing or able to get $5,000 to be released. That, and this was simple misdemeanor charge, although they were trying to get it higher like felony charges, but $5,000 was insane because who can afford that, right? So it's going to get more heated. It's going to get more crazy. Definitely there's a call out for more people to show up and to help be part of that and help save these ecology and sacred sites. So I hope we answered your question. Sorry if that was a bit much.
No, I appreciate that. What gets me is their lack of brain development or their arrogance, I guess, saying you can walk in but you can't drive in. What's the difference of driving in or walking in? You know, what's the difference in that? You know, but that's how they are. They have the most silliest, weirdest logic on earth. And that's why I, you know, I'm glad they call themselves American, because I'd be ashamed if I was European. I wouldn't even want these people to be called European, because that's how screwed up they are. You know, I'm glad they call themselves American, you know, because there's only one kind, one of a kind there with that logic. And I watched these videos and I heard this cop standing around there and these protesters are asking them, telling them, you know, don't you feel strange or something what you're doing, you know, or whatever. No, you know what? I heard him say, no, I'm just a cop, you know.
Yeah,
you know?
And you know, while we were there, a lot of these water protectors had been there for a long time. I mean, they've been holding it down for a while, you know. And they said that every time they go into town to get you know, food or whatever, the store owners will actually call the sheriff and let them know if there's any new people. They'll take pictures of people's license plates, even if you're just going in town to get water or whatever. You know, even if you're an elder that's not from that area, because these are small towns, they know, you know, not even if you have out-of-state plates, even if you don't, they'll know if you're not from that area. And I guess some of these business owners, some of the private residential people were very much in cahoots with the police involved in all of this, too. So it was very much a militia mentality. You know, it was
instead of appreciating the business, most people
exactly.
would want some kind of big giant protest so they can make money off it, you know. But
mm-hmm.
but once again, that's American mentality. And you know, like, no wonder foreign countries, Europeans and other white nations don't want to acknowledge these Americans because of how stupid they are. And you know, I'm glad that Jake and Corrine were there, you know, but you know, we need, you know, what's strange about this is Indian land, but it's not like our res, it's different, something different about it, where they can block off the entrance. That's like if you came down my house and they parked in front of my driveway and say you couldn't drive in.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of logic that is, you know.
Right. And that's what was kind of creepy about all of that, is because we were out in the middle of nowhere. And I guess this had been an easement issue, unbeknownst to any, I mean, nobody knew how long that had been an easement issue, right? But it was a transfer of ownership, I guess. But it was like, we're in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, there's 20 cops that are protecting this easement that had never been protected before. It was really kind of funny. In one way, it was funny. Another way, it was really angering. It's like, wow, okay, in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, there could be crimes being committed like 2 miles away, but it doesn't matter because you guys are here protecting a little, like, what, 20 feet? 20 feet? It was crazy. It was really crazy.
20-foot driveway. Yeah. and that's why I was talking to them, you know, and for I'm going to open up some lines right now. But that's why talking about this, the logic of this country is indigenous country, and they act like it's like being in Iraq. Those Iraqis, they're in Iraq and here's some white guys telling them what to do. They can't figure that out. What's the same thing with us? We're over here in our land and these white guys over here telling us what we can't do, what we can do and what we can't do. And they're just made up people, made up country, made up race, American, made it up. You know, they made up everything. Their money, they printed themselves, everything. But somebody said, I think it was George Carlin, he said, you know, if you get a bunch of stupid people together, you know, you're in trouble. And, you know, that's what it is. You know, we let a bunch of stupid people in, so we're in deep shit. You know? we're in deep shit.
It's really
our culture's beautiful.
Yeah.
Native culture and our lands are beautiful. We have everything beautiful, but they're over here destroying it.
You know.
And I was thinking about, did you see the ocean on fire? Did you see that?
Yep. You know, Kunshi, the way I look at it too is that they're doing that, and all these Washitos are fighting to get that through. But yet, they don't understand. None of them is ever going to use that oil that goes through there, that sludge. It all goes to a foreign country. None of them. None of these stupid, like you're saying, the lack of the brain development, it shows up right there. Because they're protecting something for one man that's going to profit. And yet, none of us in this fatherland here are going to use that thing traveling through that pipeline. It's all going overseas. So, what, you know, the lack of brain development, they're protecting something that belongs to one man, and he's going to get richer than hell out of it. And yet, if that breaks and it contaminates all that rice, all that water, everything, that's millions of people clear down, all the way down. What is that about? Why are they defending one man and his profits? You know, that it doesn't make sense to me. That brain development, Wakantunka really shorted those people, man. They ain't got no mind.
Those, I hear you.
These people are trying to defend something that's been there for millions of years, that rice, the water, the land, and yet they don't see that. They see one man and his prophets and something that's unnatural. They're putting a pipeline through there. What the hell's wrong with these people? You know, it's beyond me. You know, the brain development doesn't exist in the Washitu world.
Exact. And that's why I call them invasive species. They're species. They're like I call them American carp. You know?
Carp.
Yeah. Remember they eat the trash at the bottom.
Yeah.
American carp. You know, the thing is, they like they're so ignorant, but there's so many of them, because ignorance multiplies like fast, you know, really fast. It's hard to be intelligent. Being ignorant is as easy as it comes. Being ignorant is as easy as taking a poop, you know. It's easy,
you know, that's like that saying, stupid is what stupid does, and that's who they are, you know. Total stupid, you know. I don't know, Kanshi, man. They don't try to use common sense at all, these Washitus. And yet they act all badass like they own this country. And they don't own shit. It's all stolen. And they still do this. They still profit off of us. And yet all these other Washitus, they don't understand that. Nobody wants them in Europe because of the way they are. They're American, you know. Nobody wants these Americans because they're troublemakers and they're murderers and they're thieves and rapists. Trump, when he said that about these Mexicans coming up here, he was talking about his own people. It wasn't those guys. You know, he's talking about his own people.
That's why the other countries say you can't do business with the American. Because every 4 years they change their policy. Every time a new Rudy poop comes in, they change it. You can't make no deal with them. You can't make no treaties with them. They keep changing it every 4 years. You know? So we, you know, and us people, Lakotas and other natives, you know, there's no way Yeah, okay. What if this Deb Holland performed some miracles? You know, what if she did perform some miracles while she's in there? And then 4 years from now, they'll just take them away and boot her out, you know?
Yep, yep. So, that's what it is.
You know, so no matter how much we support them and are happy that another Indian got in their cult with them, it's never going to work. We've been through Ben Knight, Horace Campbell's. We've been through all of them. I mean, I used to go with my brother Larry down here in Sacramento, and remember Ben Knight, Horace Campbell had a gallery there. I was going to say a galaxy. He had a gallery there, and he had pictures. He had 100 pictures of himself with a war bonnet in there for sale in his gallery. 100 pictures of him with a war bonnet and on his Harley, you know, with a war bonnet, you know, and selling them. And he was so proud of himself, you know. He made it up there, you know, and he said, I will treat all the Indians, I'll treat my people just like everybody else. How are you going to treat us like everybody else? You know, how are you going to do that? Anyway, Lance, Philip, and Jennifer, your lines are on.
All right.
And, okay. You know, while you were on for a while, but anyway.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to Vimber for opening up with the prayer. And it was really good to hear Corrine and Jake. Miss you guys, you know, and I really liked seeing the pictures of both of them with Candace on Facebook. Those photos were awesome.
Yeah.
How's Madeline doing, though? That's one question I have, because I know Corinne was telling me that Madeline had gotten arrested also. Is she out?
Corrine's line dropped, but she's going to come back on, and we probably could ask her again. But, yeah, you know, all of them, they got locked up and stuff. And, you know, I was really upset because 3 weeks ago, the American journalists and the Canadian journalists were attacking another country leader for how he treats protesters. You know, like over here, they don't treat them like that. Only over there they do. You know, when if you were over there, you'd know they have them all the time. And anyway, they don't have foreigners invading their country. So they don't need to protest, you know. They don't have invaders sitting in there giving them tickets for nothing. Driving on their, you know, just showing up on their land, running pipelines right through it. They don't do that, you know. They have their system set up in other countries. Over here, this country and Canada are still developing their system to live here. They're still building something. Them other countries been there for 2,000 years. Thousands of years, 10,000 years. Over here, they're still developing their system like some little kids building a playhouse. You know, they took our system away, our system of protecting the environment, our system of using everything we get, knowing how to use everything we grow, everything we eat, you know. They don't know that, you know. You see how they have slop. You go to restaurants, they have slop. They don't know how to utilize their stuff. You know, we're living with a society of invasive species that is still trying to build and learn. And they don't care who they step on, who they poop on, or what they do to get there. They don't care about God. They say they do, but they don't care about God. That's why they murdered all these children. That's why they murdered all the women. That's why they was cutting women's genitals off with no shame. You know, those four guys they have up there in Mount Rushmore. And that's why, you know, we're surrounded with this invasive species. And they're how, you know? And like watching what they're doing today, Jake just got out yesterday from jail. This is 2021. And they're still being Washichu, just like why we call them Washichu, right, remember?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
They're still that way. They ain't never going to change.
Slave stealers.
They're still slave stealing.
Yep.
They're making excuses for slave stealing. You know what I mean? And
yep.
And that's what's a shame about it. I think Corrine, are you back on?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, Philip had a question. Go ahead, Philip. She's back.
Did Madeline get out of jail?
Oh yeah, Madeline got out of jail, and of course that didn't stop her from jumping in and being involved in everything again. So this is her life commitment. Her and her family, and so proud of her. She's awesome.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, go ahead. Was you as you were saying, or what?
Yeah,
are you done?
That's good to hear. Yeah. Those two, Madeline and Kuze, are great, great people, and they definitely are committed to protecting the environment.
Yeah,
tell me
actually,
this. Go ahead. No, you're all right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Madeline, she was involved, her and her family, her and her husband were involved in Standing Rock, and she actually wrote a book about her experience as a non-native participating in Standing Rock, and it's called Stay and Fight. And it's a really good book. So if anybody's interested in learning how to be an accomplice with Indigenous people, that's a great book to start with. Because she's married to an Indian man, and she is committed to working with Indigenous people as an accomplice in a respectful manner, taking their lead in how she proceeds in this work.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Hey, I wanted to ask you something, Corrine. You know, how long has this Line 3 protest been going on?
2 years. Well, from what I understand, I went to one camp out in White Earth that was actually, I guess, being headed up by Minnesota 350, which is a nonprofit, I guess national nonprofit, whatever. They said they've been working on this for 6 years. But I think that people really, started honing in on it in the past 3 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. That leads me to my next question. How long do you anticipate this fight to be?
Well, you know, it was really funny because what I mean by funny is that for those of us, Minnesota is real different than most other places. So if you don't know that area, it's really easy to get lost. Like some people that were involved in the second action actually had to run into the woods. And there was a Dene brother that was out there who had never been to Minnesota. I mean, you know, you give him Arizona, he knows how to track, he knows what to do. Then you put him in Minnesota, and he was telling me, he's like, Corrine, I had bugs biting me that I had never seen before. And I started laughing because it's a very different kind of terrain. So I just based on what I've seen, this is going to be a long fight. We're talking about, for those of you that have been involved with Standing Rock didn't start when the media started paying attention to it. It started a long time before that with the training and the moccasins on the ground. And I mean, people were really getting
That was the young people.
Yeah, and there was a lot of young people at these camps too. But I met some elders too that were giving a lot of guidance. And you know, I got to tell you, I really felt my age when I was out there. I really did.
Well, here's my next view here. I asked how long it's been going and how long it's going to be. And I noticed this from, you know, and I'm talking to Lance and Philip here too, and Jennifer also, but Lance and Philip, because they're directors and leaders. And I noticed that I didn't see no AIM flags in those videos. Were there AIM flags there, Corrine?
No.
You see, my point is, Standing Rock, I went there, there was AIM flags all over. And some of these other events, like even down there in Texas border, with Juan Mancias and them, they're down there.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, AIM flags and an AIM presence with them. But up there in Minnesota, it's like the only people supporting it, I mean, I'm not trying to knock nobody, but look like, you know, people that are real environmentalists, you know what I mean? A specific kind of people. But these people need some real people with them. That's why I'm not saying AIM is the answer. But the American Indian Movement has this face of presence that needs to be there to make them cops start thinking. These cops, when they see AIM flags and start seeing these kind of Indians showing up, they start worrying about it. Yeah, we get punished severely for being this way, but still, there's an advantage to it. Because look, at Standing Rock, they even finally got that place cut off, you know? And that could happen up there with Line 3, but they need some support. You know, this is what gets me. How come Black Lives Matter, they drink our water too? Why ain't they up there? Why ain't these Asians up there that are crying, oh, Asian brutality, you know? Where the hell they at? They drinking our water. They eating rice too. So anyway, go ahead.
There was a couple things that I heard when I was up there. One of them was that, you know, people learned a lot from Standing Rock and how to organize like this, but so did the cops. And that's one of the things that – so I guess Minnesota started preparing for this a long time ago, using Standing Rock as an example of how to, like, nip it in the butt as quick as possible. So a lot of people believe that it's going to be hard-hitting. You know how it kind of built up, and then we got to where Standing Rock was at? A lot of people feel that Minnesota is going to hit it hard from the get-go because they don't want a Standing Rock. So, yes, they need a lot of people up there. But I'm going to say something that I was really proud to see a lot of young people up there, Wombly. It's all good. I got to tell you, being an older person, because I'm getting up in age, I don't like to admit it, but I am, and it felt good to see the young people, and there were some Black Lives Matter people up there, and that was, like, so awesome. There was this one time that they had blocked off the 71, so in other words, where they were having the action, they blocked off that whole freeway, right, that whole 71, and so we had to go on a detour, and I was trying to find out if my man got, you know, when he was going to get released or whatever, if we had to bail him out, but we couldn't even get to where we needed to go because of that whole detour. But anyways, what I'm saying is that we had to stop at a store to get some water or whatever, and there was these two young people. One was an African-American female, another one was a Chicano-looking guy, and they were young, and they looked at us, and me and Candace were wearing I know I was wearing my shirt and Candace was wearing hers, I think. And they came over and they go, hey, I recognize you from the camp. Do you guys need anything? Do you guys got everything you need? Do you guys need us to do anything? And I was like, oh, that is really cool. It was just really cool to feel supported that these two young people came out of their way to, and they gave us a heads up, like, yeah, there's a cop right over there, da, da, da. And it was really, really cool to see that. And it made me feel hope that, you know,
hey,
if more young
what
people
was,
go out there, it's going to be good.
What was the main town closest to this place?
Park Rapids was the closest town to where we were at, yeah, Park Rapids, Minnesota. That's in Hubbard County. And from what I heard from all the, you know, natives that I met and people that, you know, I was talking with up there, is that that's one of the most racist counties in northern Minnesota. They made a joke and said that northern Minnesota nice, there's no such thing as northern Minnesota nice there in Hubbard County. they're not nice.
So you guys were close by Park Rapids, like over there,
yeah,
by Leech Lake or place like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Yeah, we were about,
okay,
an hour from Red Lake. Yeah, yeah. No, it was a couple,
yeah,
hours from Red Lake, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to remember me being through there, you know, and trying to,
yeah, yeah,
figure out where this was at. And, you know, like, this is all Indian land. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, I feel bad that you had to go through that experience because, you know, those cops, they can prepare all they want for, like, Standing Rock. But if a bunch of people just showed up in over a couple days' time, they'd,
mm-hmm,
shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, the reason why we need people is because of the laws that they're breaking, the laws the,
mm-hmm,
Washichu's breaking. He's breaking,
mm-hmm,
these laws. And there's,
mm-hmm,
nothing we can do to stop it. But I learned one thing about activism. Activism works quick. When we try to,
mm-hmm,
fight laws legally and don't work, we'll wait,
right,
20 years in the courts. But, you know, that's why I was talking about, what would they do if all of a sudden Black Lives Matter showed up, you know, 500,000,
mm-hmm,
of them? What would happen if all these brown berets showed up? What would happen if, you know, I mean, all these people, what I'm getting at, it always looks like when we do something, we're on our own. And you heard me earlier talking about our having white buddies, you know, and I was talking,
mm-hmm,
about Gary Ruiz. But we have these white supporters that are different. They're into humanity. And,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, so it's always just us and these white supporters that are into humanity, like that girl that got her arm almost shot off in Standing Rock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a white,
mm-hmm,
girl. We,
mm-hmm,
have stuff like that. Why isn't the other, like you said, you might see one black person, like at Standing Rock, someone, oh, I seen a Chinese guy there. Big deal. Big deal. One Chinese guy. So now that fills
sure
the quota, huh? You know,
mm-hmm,
one Chinese guy. So how about, you know, I seen a couple black guys there too. But we all drink that water. I mean,
mm-hmm,
that Mississippi River leads down to black country, brown country, Asian country, and everything else. What do they,
yeah,
have in what do they have down there in Missouri? What's a Missouri, you know, in Missouri?
That's some good blues in Missouri.
Yeah, well, St. Louis is there, you know, all the black people there. They drink the water. This is happening at the headwaters of the Missouri River.
Right, right.
You know, why ain't they all packing their bags going up there? This is what gets me. Everybody turns into an American real quick. You know? Mazalska. He said it.
Mazalska. No.
Yep.
Yeah. Mazalska. You're exactly right. And that's what it is. Everybody turns into an American when it comes to Mazalska. But you know what? When there's no Mazalska, then they all want to bitch and fight. You know?
You know,
can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't understand, like you were saying. Yeah, the people by the Grand Governing Council, they're claiming to be Anishinaabe, so why are they not up there supporting their people? But
you
rather than go down to California and putting out us.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, some of these people are right there within driving distance. But when they go to a protest, they got to make sure there's a casino and a hotel there or they ain't going. When they come to Pine Ridge, what do? They hook up. They go to the casino in Prairie Winds and stay there. Then the next day show up and go back. That's what they're doing at Standing Rock. You know, they weren't out there camping with Lakotas, with Guy Dolknife, and, you know, all the Lakotas was camped out over there, you know. Some of these guys were living in little pup tents, you know. I went, you know, but these guys showed up, and they right away, they roomed up in the hotel, was having continental breakfast, and then they was out there selling AIM shirts. Because that's a good place to sell AIM shirts where the crowd's at, right? You know? You know, and yeah, I know there's some tuned in right now. And I know some of them don't like what they're hearing tonight. But that's all right. They need to hear it. Because you know what? Tahoshi, you know,
yeah.
We're Lakota. And they were down there smoking a chanupa in California attacking a Lakota woman. You know, they were attacking a Lakota woman. They don't know that. They don't realize she's Lakota. They don't realize she got family up here. They don't realize she's even got land up here. She just grew up in California. The point is how they'll attack somebody and not realize who the hell they're effing with. Now, I'm not saying this because they're attacking a Lakota woman. I'm saying they're attacking a Lakota woman while they're acting like Lakota.
Yep. See, that's, you know, Crunchy, this, that's what I was telling you. You know, when Indian fight Indian, nobody wins. And that's basically, when you're shutting down American Indian movement chapters, you're going after your own people. Think about that. Why don't they just say, hey, we improve this. If you do this, it'll improve it. Show them how to do it instead of shutting them down and saying you don't belong and all that. You know, that's not how it works. We're supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive, you know, and that's what they're trying to make it at. That's what I'm saying. It's like a big old biker organization. Like this woman asked, how come they're not up here? They're within driving distance. And that's the truth. Where are they at? All these big shots flying down here to California, it's 150 miles away from them. Go up there. Put your beads, braids, and feathers on and march up there. You know, show
up
and
show
them the cop.
I'll tell you where they're at. They're playing golf.
Acting like Trump. You know? You know, that's the thing. It's like these people need help up there. Where's the American Indian movement? Instead of shutting these people down that are Indian that are doing this, go up there and shut that pipeline down. Shut that white man down. What the hell's wrong with it? It's a good cause. It's the water. Mini-o-wi-choni. Think about that.
You got a huevos.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
If there was,
no tiene huevos.
if there was Muslim Scott moving on up there. You know, that's not cool when they're all down here showing off with a peace pipe, and yet they don't want to go up there. You know, that don't make sense to me. Support your people when it's a good cause. That's the headwaters up there. If that gets contaminated everybody's water gets contaminated. Come on. Manila with Tony, that's the truth. We're all made of water. And that's a good call.
Exactly.
Where's GGC at? Where's all these heavy aim people shutting these places? Go shut that pipeline down. Go throw your weight around over there.
Hey,
don't,
like I said, if they put a casino right there, then they'll show up.
Yeah, that's,
one of our relatives got busted in Standing Rock. A lot of them did, but, you know, I'm just saying one in particular that I know, I mean, because he told me this. Because he's Unshika, because like us. He wears old jeans, old boots, you know, dresses, you know, and, you know, when you see him, you know he's Lakota. And when he got busted, he didn't have money for bail. He didn't have money for an attorney, you know. He didn't have nothing. But that's how our people do it.
Yeah.
You know, our people do it that way. You know, and that's why I was saying this about him. And he didn't go up there to hang out at the casino. And some of our bros lived up there for months in tents and teepees in the winter, freezing ass with no money, you know, no funding.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes I tried to help out what I could because I know they were there. The thing is, we have to really be appreciative of our culture. But like I said, all of a sudden somebody gets a woman, you know, and she's running with Washichu and other cultures all her life, and shows up with some guy, and next thing she's showing up with big eagle feather on her head, you know. Wearing this ribbon skirt, really, you know, ain't not just galore, you know, what I'm saying is we Lakotas, we don't put an eagle feather on unless we earn it and go have a ceremony over it, hunkah.
Yep.
You know, we don't just get them and slap them on just because your old man says you can wear one, and your old man don't deserve one either. Yeah, your old man don't deserve one either. He let his eagle feathers rot under his bed before, you know, his dancing outfit when he was trying to be Indian. You see, we have this kind of stuff going on, and it's a shame that we got to have leadership that represents himself like that, you know. And I ain't mad or not wheezy because they went to California, you know, when there's something else they should be doing. I was questioning why they said they were going to play God. And when they bullied one of our people, you know, I said, you know, what they doing? And a woman too, bullying women, you know, and the guy's got a big jacket for attacking women all the time, you know. But
they're going to accuse. Yet these same people are accusing me of doing that.
Yeah, and I read what they sent you, you know, and they're talking about they're such traditional people and all that. That's a damn lie. I read what they said about you, Philip, and you know that's all debatable. I come to realize that this organization isn't for real. Because if it's for real, a lawsuit is up for grabs to stop that. Because they're violated. They're discriminating, violating, no due process, etc. And when you have a 501c3, if you're going to go government, then you better follow the rules of your charter, your constitution and bylaws. You know, as a matter of fact, if you become an organization in this country and get a 501c3, get trademarked and all that, that means you have to comply with American guidelines, right? With United States guidelines. Am I correct
yep.
in that?
Yes,
so that
are.
Means that yep. means a group
yep.
of black people, a group of black people from St. Louis can have their own AIM chapter, right?
You bet.
A group
bet.
Of white yep. guys, a group of white guys in West Virginia can have an AIM chapter.
Yep.
A group of Trumples can start an AIM chapter. There's
yeah,
nothing
anybody.
You can do about it. But yet, they're over there throwing out Indians. They're over there attacking Indians, you know,
saying.
Without
Instead
due process.
Let's see. If they're going to put them on, tell them, bring them back and redirect them. Yeah, they can cancel them, you know.
I'm going to tell a bunch of my black bros start an AIM chapter.
You know, what's name? Oh, are you okay? Yeah. What's name? You're getting all excited.
Got my feathers ruffled up.
You're like James Brown. Nancy said, there's only one place on the hot top.
Like my leg, she says, he says, not that many house of us.
you know, Tansy, this AIM, so-called AIM chapter that they're trying to close, why don't they come down and say, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. We're going to help you with this. Correct it. And just show them, you know, if that's how much it means, show them what to do instead of trying to cancel them out. You know what I mean? Why are they?
Yeah,
why are they acting like Washichu people? You know, that's what I was saying. They should have talked to Leonard when he was alive. That's why I kept saying that. When he was alive, he would tell them, "We're all in this together. We have to do this together." And they're not doing that. They want to dictate what these people do with these chapters. They shouldn't do that. Support them, build them up, so they can get more Indians in there. You know,
they want to be the banker.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, that's
yeah,
what it is. They want to be the banker.
I told one guy, I told this guy that I said, why don't you make these young people look up to you instead of turning them into enemies? They just don't see that. They don't
yeah.
see it. You know.
Yeah, but
you know,
the thing about it is. When you get a snitch placard, not you know, I guess you know that's a whole different story. You know what I mean? That's you know, to me, that's not cool at all. You know, that shows you which way they're going. You shouldn't be
Check.
Proud of something like that.
This guy, this person tells this leader, "Sorry, so and so is not on our board." Or a member, if you want to speak to him on your time, that is all good. But this is our group. We're trying to get sanctioned. Best regards. So by her saying that to this leader, check what he says. He says, well, actually, you're not a support group yet. It hasn't been taken to the GDC yet by me. Or given how you... He says, or given how you are coming at me, it won't be.
Damn.
No.
I will wait until we find someone other than you that will be more suitable to be in leadership position. But hear
yeah,
what he says. He says,
like
he says,
They want somebody that's going to have their lips firmly planted around their rectum.
Yep.
And do exactly
yeah.
what they say.
Given how you're coming at me, it won't be. That's the kind of leader they got. And you know what? I can't talk to this guy to his face because he won't answer the phone and he blocks me on Facebook. So you know, I don't care. You know? I don't care if so he deserves this, and if he don't like it, why not? Why he? I'm here right now, you know. Come on,
He's only a state away from me, and he won't even come over here to talk to me face to face. Coward.
But you see how these guys corrupt the rest of the organization? They corrupt them. This guy has, from acting like he is, people think he's big shit. They don't know he's just a plier-legged old creature, you know?
Looking off of a woman that has money.
Plier-legged.
legs bent like a pliers. You know? And
I can picture him walking down the street.
With all this AIM stuff on and then wearing a French beret, trying to look like a Frenchman.
Mila Haska.
Mila Haska.
Yeah, that's who put us in this predicament. What the hell are they trying to show those things off for, you know?
Let me add something about that other chapter. That other chapter. That chapter there in California was already sanctioned. There was a
chapter
already sanctioned because that person came to me while I was dancing and asked me for my vote because I couldn't be at the Grand Governing Council meeting because I was dancing, and I gave him my vote. So that chapter was already sanctioned because those guys were there, and I met them.
And you know what? These people gave him a big medallion that he wears, and then he slapped them in the face after they a beat-up medallion, this Lakota woman. You know what I mean? You know how Lakotas honor people?
Yeah.
But
kind
this guy,
people.
These other people that follow him, they must really like their lips planted on some strange, some kind of hyena rectum. Because, you know what? Yeah, this guy's a hyena. You know, he's not a native. He's a hyena. He eats. He's a scavenger. So,
you know,
but these people all follow him, and I don't care. I'm pretty upset, you know, like putting them on blast. But whoever else that he influences is just no better than him. And I could see that because when I look at this line three, where's these people at? Where are they at in line three? Where are they at?
Water too. They don't understand that. You know, they drink the water and they have to sit on grass. That don't make sense to me.
So that's why.
Let's not forget, it wasn't only him, because I talked to this woman also. It wasn't only him. It was also another chapter director.
Yeah, I know that.
Who is also the mentor to another chapter close to me.
Yep. Well,
that's why I told Philip to continue doing what he's doing. You know, there's no sense in canceling anybody out because of AIM chapter, just because they gave him a leadership role. That's why I say, where's your compassion? Where's your kindness? You say you're a pipe carrier. Why not show that man how to do it if he's doing it incorrect and guide him in a direction to where he's doing good for the people? See? You don't go over there and throw your weight around and try to kick him out and all that. That's wrong. That's what Leonard Klodov talks about when he says we're all in this together. That's why I say I don't like the way these guys are treating people and what they're telling people. Just because they hang a title on his, and then like him accepting a plaque from the sheriff's department, why didn't he do that to the sheriff's department? You know, that's what gets me. Why is he trying to be a Washitu? We're Lakota. We're Indian. We're pitiful. We're all supposed to be in this together, and that's what counts. If you don't like something that somebody's doing at one chapter, go tell them about it and help them get. If that's what people see. Help him get away from that, but show him how to do it. So they don't get
how much,
but at the same time,
how much
you have to have, you have to have leadership that is worth following, okay? And in my humble opinion, these guys ain't worth following. Vernon is worth following. That's who my mentor
is. Here's my point. If you can't afford to come to Wounded Knee in February, when that's a major American Indian Movement memorial event, and you ain't got gas and all that, how much money did it cost? When I seen a picture of all these people, including this woman, to fly airplanes, one from Canada, and the other ones from East Coast, coming all the way from East Coast, and then paying for somebody else's ticket just to suck ass, and then paying for someone else, and then showing up down there and making it a holiday tourist event, barbecue, flashing barbecue down their throat, all in nice tropical weather, when there's people going to jail, getting locked up right up here in Minnesota, you know, right above them, and when they didn't show up for Wounded Knee. And of course, they can claim COVID or whatever they want, but they wasn't sitting out in that park in L.A. all with COVID masks on. They were sitting out there with their mouths gapped from being satisfied, gratified, you know, just teeth showing, teeth and barbecue, you know, and sitting out there all proud. You know, and none of these people look like the ones, you know, a couple of them were, I could say, old school, but the rest of them were all newbies that just showed up in the last 5 or 10 years. And these people, at some of them got into the car and was bullying a Native woman and bullying another guy, bullying some Indians, who was accepted last year. You know what I mean? Last year, they were good people. But this year, they're like shit. You know? Well, I noticed this about it. These people that I'm talking about, they were shit for years. They've been shit all along. You know? They came in that way. But these new people, they bring them in, and if they don't suck hard enough, right away they boot them out.
They were the real experiment. Cussy.
Yeah.
That means that they were the real experiment, huh?
Yeah.
They were the real seminar, those guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing I've been saying all this time, is that when you have that type of attitude to where you go against your own people, that's not right. You don't carry a pipe for them. See? That's why you separate the things. You don't bring those into these things that you do, because then that will do more harm than good when you do that. See? Because it's inclusive, you know. And if you're Lakota, you understand that stuff. There's 4 laws that you committed to when you took that. You know it. I know it. And if these guys were given it the right way, they would also know it too. And one of them is, would you die for me, the Mother Earth?
Yeah.
And that's the waters they're talking about. The headwaters that, if it gets contaminated, they're sitting on their ass right now. If they don't do nothing, it gets contaminated. It's their water too. What are they going to do? No.
That's like poisoning fruits of a poisonous tree. When they poison that headwaters, it's poison all the way down.
Yep.
You know? And that's the most important place that needs to be fought
protect
for
it.
Right now.
Yep.
You know,
protect that place.
And Like I said, I felt bad. They can say, well, you ain't there, so what you talking for? Well, I tell you what, I'm not there, but I'm supporting it in a lot of other ways, you know?
Yeah.
And if I could, I would go there, you know? But, like, I ain't flying, buying plane tickets to go to Tropical, you know, to show off, you know, with my best attire on, you know?
Yeah.
My best and trying to be just like you said, brother Tashi, you said they get other people to do their dirty work.
Yep.
You know, they stand on their front porch looking like a Frenchman and giving somebody else, some Indian, to do the dirty work. Some Indian to go beat up an Indian woman, to go terrorize the Indian woman. And they stand back and say, yeah, good, bro, because I seen them. When Mike Forshaw tore down that statue, this guy sent me a message and said, I hope that goes to prison.
That's not right.
And I said, well, shit, I don't care about, you know, this guy's still Indian. Why would I want him in prison? Ah, because the way he treated so-and-so and so. Check this out. Listen to this. He said, because he treated so-and-so and so-and-so bad. He said, because he treated two other men bad, now he wants them to go to prison. When this guy, they tore down that statue for all the indigenous people, you know? And yeah, when you got that kind of attitude that you want to see an Indian locked up, man, you better not be head of no group. And if that group don't want to get rid of you, then everybody better bail out that group and not be admitting they belong to that group. They better go on without that group, just like they did in Wounded Knee. There was Amesters galore, and they weren't there. You know, there's always Amesters galore, you know, without them, you know. And these other ones are come and goers, you know what I mean? Come and goers, people that will come and people that will go. Anyway, Jennifer, see you. We got carried away. Jennifer's on the line, too. Hello.
Good evening. Wow. This show went. There's a lot of stuff that you guys do. Converse. There's a couple things that. It's like the. How do I explain this? Where each of our races kind of gives us a spiritual aspect. What I understand is the medicine wheel that the white people are given a brain, believe it or not. They are to be with it, but they got to the ego as big as the world, and they abuse it. They think that just because they have the gift, developing technology and all of that, they tend to think that they're more secure. So they're abusing it. And so, but when they abuse it, what happens is they'll mark themselves. And they really need to just throw their little feet and humble themselves. And as far as I can see, standing law, everybody keeps bringing that up, but there was this spiritual guidance that was to be spread for everybody, was to keep your mind clear, keep your drugs and alcohol, and don't bring any armed weapons, and let the spirit take over. There were several, at least 13 medicine men that I know were there. But majority of them left because they were being totally disrespected. And I know one Dakota medicine man told me, had the people really listened, I mean extremely listened to what the spirits had guided and instructed, we could have sent it, all the ancestors, we are the grandchildren of many ancestries from all different tribes, and we couldn't have had more power. And this is what I'm trying to get at, is we as Natives really need to amp up in understanding that avatars are there with us at every step if we just listen and notice. There was many, the buffalo that showed up and other things, and taking back to Wounded Knee, you know, in 73, that's the owl avatar helped get the people out and other avatars. So the spirits could have, the medicine men told me that they could have just sent in our ancestors and let it done, been over with. But it had to take its long route because people are slow in understanding these things or not knowing how to heed these things or even aware of it, apparently. But I do appreciate the white people that are in humanitarian and the veterans that came as a human shield, and I wonder where they're at, if they're going to continue in any other fights in the future, coming in solidarity. And I know that they had asked forgiveness from my uncle, Leonard Crow Dog, and I don't know if they ever showed up at his funeral or not, but, you know, the symbolic of what the clergy did and burning the doctrine of discovery and all of that. But in reality, I hate to say it, but sometimes I think it was just a big show. As far as we go with the youth, there is hope in the youth. It's in our prophecy that the seventh generation is here, that they will carry on. They've been here. There's, you know, we have a youth AIM chapter. We had one here in Denver. We still do. And Glenn Morris has pretty much passed the baton on to his niece. Well, she is getting older now where she's graduating from school. But, you know, I've been in protests and rallies where we've been arrested, hundreds of us, and 38 of the children were arrested with us, and we all rode the school bus to go get to the courthouse to get cited and our tickets and whatever it is that we had to do. But, you know, they've been around. So if you're just now opening your eyes, just noticing kids around, they've always been around, and they've always been around ceremonies, too. And if not, go get your niece, go get your uncle. I tell people, I said, in ceremonies, too, I said, go get them. If you don't have any kids to teach, I mean, that's our responsibility is to teach. So, yeah, I have a lot to say, but Wombly, I really appreciate everything that you do and say in this radio program and having this platform. And I always like all the different phrases that you say, and I like that, what you said about invasive species and describing the American white people. It's always the way that you express things that, you know, a lot of people should really listen deeply of what we're really trying to say. That's up for now.
Exactly. Well, stay. Hey, Lance. Anything you want to say before, you know, I'm sorry, we're already rolling in here with, you know,
Yay, everybody. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak briefly, and I'm going to make it brief. I thought I had some really good things to say, and it was my time to listen, and listen is what I did. And I heard some familiar voices, and thank you for the gift of your words. Prayers to your relatives and the planes that were tragically taken. It was something stupid, but it was really good to, like, hear someone described in that way and being a good father and being a traditional man. And that's, like, the goal, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you. Everyone have a great, great night, and I hope to see you soon. Well, yeah.
Thank you, Lance. Well, stay. And, yeah, we lost somebody real special for a drunk driver. And you know, we really have to encourage sobriety on our people. I mean, and sometimes we can't get sobriety, but at least whatever you're doing, don't kill nobody. Don't hurt nobody. You know, that's, you know, keep in mind, you know, we have ceremonies, we have sacred ways to live with, to live by, and we have to, you know, we have to always think that way, because, man, you know what, it hurts. One thing about indigenous people, we're not like other people on earth. When we lose somebody, we hurt. Wakantanka made us hurt, you know, for a reason.
By drunk driver.
You know?
You're going to drink, don't drive.
Yeah. I see people, I see people, their mom died, their grandma died, they just move on and fight over the land. You know? I see. They don't even care. They don't even care about, you know, you know what? When my mother and father left, I didn't think nothing about anything they had, you know? And I just care. Yeah. And that's how our people are. We have to live like that. We have to, and you know, like people twist our culture around. When you're smoking that chanupa, if you're going to go to California to smoke that chanupa, if you're touching this sacred way and you're over there like writing a bogus letter to Philip and to harassing one of our women who's only was trying to help, you know, only trying to help, you know, that ain't right. So the thing is, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we have to even talk about it. But there's no way these people, how else is somebody, you know what, this little girl, I heard her arguing with the old guy. And I said, why are you arguing with that old guy? And this young little girl said, well, how else is he supposed to know he's stupid? You know,
man.
If you don't tell him, you know? And she's right. Some people are stupid, and you can't just tell. They can't, you can't even give them a hint. You give them hints, poke them in the ribs and give them hints, they don't know they're stupid. You know? They don't. You know? So it's a shame. But like Jennifer says, I don't like using this platform for that.
Yeah.
But I do want to use this platform to represent what real natives are supposed to be. When you carry it, when you want to smoke that chanupa and use the Lakota language when you speak, you know, be respectful of all the indigenous. Yep. The other thing is, like Toshi said, Iniwi Choni, water is sacred. We need to fight the Washichu over that. We need to defend that water because they're destroying it. For destroying that rice, they should all be up there. And with that being said, you know, we have to go and Tanshi, if you can, you know, say a prayer for us.
Oh, that's Hetchen, Jung Tuna, and at the Unkistimon, at Hokata, at Hunkashla,
You guys, Corrine, I don't run off, I want to stay there till
you want me in here, Wombly? Can I go back to my Elizabeth?